If you will turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, here's where we're continuing on and looking at the life of the Apostle Peter. We're looking at these epistles that the Lord used him to write. And this good word from our Lord, our brother is found of the Lord. He's been converted. He's which is not talking about him being saved. He was saved even before he met the Lord. We understand things correctly, but the Lord challenged him that he needed to be converted, sold out for the Lord, dedicated to the Lord in every way. And the Lord worked with Brother Peter. He was merciful and gracious, long-suffering unto him, and brought him along. And certainly that tells us and shows us that there's help and hope for us. Our brother is found at this point. He's not perfect. He is a saint of the Lord, but he's not perfect. But he does desire to obey the Lord in every way. He knows the promises of the Lord. He's encouraging us to know these precious promises here in verse number 4. And we need to know about the Lord's divine power. We need to know about his promises. And he's telling us how we can be equipped in the pursuit that we should have as the children of God to grow up in our Lord. He tells us here in verse number 5, we need to add to faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, yes, we are to add charity, love with legs on it. We've looked at these things in our last couple of messages, and it would be, it's good always when considering this about what we're to add to our faith. Yes, we have a responsibility to add to the faith that we have in our Lord. Again, faith, belief, trust, hope, and those words are talking about they're always directed at the Lord Jesus. We have faith in him. We have salvation by faith in our Lord and he having saved our souls, and we're to take and add to that faith. I mentioned last time, what gets in the way? Well, one thing that gets in the way is life. And should it get in the way? No. But we get tangled up with life. We get busy about life. We focus upon life. If you want to be a good steward, you want to be diligent and all that, you look to those things. But we need to do what we do, never put any of it in front of our Lord, and in that, look for opportunity that we might add to our faith in the midst of that. We must live life, okay? The other thing that we can have, and it's kind of connected to that first, is I forget. I just forget. And I need to remember. That's one thing in this book that Brother Peter is doing, is he's reminding. He wants to be a reminder in the time of life that he has left. And so we need to be reminded. We can also not add to our faith just by willful disobedience. We just can not do it. And we don't need to be found there. But we need to add to our faith these things. Again, he says, add to faith virtue, or that is valor, courage in following the Lord, goodness in following the Lord, knowledge, add to these knowledge about our Lord. And we're going to see something tonight about this knowledge. And it's not about just knowing facts. It's not knowing facts is important about the Lord. Knowing, in fact, the facts of the Scripture. But we need to know the Lord. Know the Lord in an intimate way. Know the Lord that we would become, our thinking would be like the thinking of the Lord. What would the Lord do? How would the Lord behave? What would the Lord say? We need to add to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control. We are to be self-controlled. Our Lord has been self-controlled in his long-suffering towards us. What a great example of self-control. We deserve to be obliterated, but he was long-suffering, wasn't he? Our Lord Jesus, as he came, became a man, he was temperate, wasn't he? He was temperate in everything. He was self-controlled in everything for our sakes. To add to temperance, patience. And we looked at some verses where the Lord tells us in Luke 21 that patience possess our souls. And in Romans chapter 5, how patience works. It's going, for you to have patience and develop patience, there's going to have to be some trial. Going to have to be some stretching. Going to have to be some testing. But we need to add patience, and to patience godliness, being like Christ, being like our Lord, and to that brotherly kindness. We need to be kind one to another, especially the household of faith. We always need to be kind to all, but especially the household of faith. Brotherly kindness, a love and a care, one for another like Christ has loved us. And to that, we need to add charity, love with legs on it. Not love that we just talk about, not where we say, I love you. That's not a bad thing to say that I love you, to tell one another to really mean it, not feigned, but to truly believe and know that we do love one another, but to show it by action. To show it by action, and that's what charity is speaking about. We come over here and just want to touch on this in Galatians chapter 5 about the fruit of the Spirit. In this chapter here in the latter part, it tells us about the works of the flesh, and we need no education about that. Our flesh, our old man, just produces all kinds of wickedness. And as one brother said years ago, I heard him say, in the factory of sin, we make all kinds of fruit that's just rotten. And we fight against that, and we need to, and naturally we're in a terrible state. That's a reason sinners need to be saved. And being in this old flesh, we are always subject to touch on these things and have these things in our life. We need to put them away from us. That's where that temperance comes in, that self-control. But in verse number 22 of this chapter, in Galatians chapter 5, our brother spells out here as he's writing to the churches in Galatia, about the fruit of the Spirit, verse number 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. And so when we consider about these fruit, if the Spirit of God is living within, and you and I are looking to add to the faith that we have in our Lord Jesus, what's going to bear? What's going to bear? What's going to come out on the tree? You remember the Lord Jesus in the Gospels compared people to trees? He said every tree that doesn't bear fruit is going to be hewn down and cast into the fire. But the trees that bear fruit, the purpose of our Lord is we might bear fruit that remains. Bear fruit to the honor and glory of our Lord who has saved us. That the world might see and it might be known that our works are wrought in God. The Lord's worked on us. He's touched us. He's saved us. We follow Him. We're dedicated to Him. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And so if you remember back, and maybe you want to take your finger and hold it, I should have told you this, over here in 2 Peter chapter 1, you see the things here to add? Okay? See the things here to add? Verses 5 and 6. And 5, 6, and 7, the fruit of the Spirit bears forth love. We're to add love. That is charity, agape love. And so we add that and we bear that, okay? And then we go on here in Galatians, but the fruit of the Spirit is peace. Now peace is, where would you think that would come from, peace? Well, we could go down through here. We're going to have peace as we add, I skipped over joy. Let's back up. The fruit of the Spirit is going to bear forth love and joy. Well, how do we have joy? Well, those promises our brother told us about, right? Those precious promises. How are we going to have joy? Well, faith in our Lord, of course, and joy in godliness, right? Joy in brotherly kindness. These things that we add, working out, will come out and we will rejoice in our Lord. He's instructed us how to live. He's instructed us how to build. This is very much tied with laying up treasure in heaven. Not on the earth where moss and rust corrupts, but it's very much connected with laying up treasure in heaven. We manifest love that we're adding. We manifest joy, which is going to be a result of these things that we're adding. And therefore, we have peace. Well, we have peace with God by virtue of salvation, our faith in Him. But you know what? We have peace when we have brotherly kindness. Peace one with another, don't we? And we have peace when we're charitable, when we exhibit love by giving of ourselves. We have peace when we're self-controlled, don't we? Or when we're patient, we'll have peace. We let anger and wrath stir up. There's going to be a falling short of peace, isn't there? But we need to add to our faith and manifest these things in the Spirit. Long-suffering. Can we go back to these things in 2 Peter chapter 1 and look and touch upon them? Long-suffering, well, virtue and temperance speak to long-suffering, don't they? But here, actually, temperance is mentioned in this. Look here. Joy, peace, long-suffering is directly mentioned. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And so we add temperance and we manifest temperance. So peace and long-suffering, gentleness. Hadn't our Lord been gentle to us? He has, hadn't he? So very gentle. So very gentle. And that's connected with long-suffering. That's connected there with our Lord and his care. Remember how he told Brother Peter. Brother Peter's a rough man by nature, seems to be. He's a rough man. He's a tough man. He's a coarse fellow. Not a fellow I don't think that you would expect just right off the bat to become gentle, but I think he's become gentle. And he remembers our Lord, charging him there in John chapter 21, which we looked at, and he said, Peter, feed my lambs. It's going to take some gentleness to feed lambs, to care for lambs. The fruit of the Spirit here in the sixth point is goodness. And of course, that's connected to virtue, to be good. Our Lord is good. He's good to us. He's good in every way. He's bright. He shines. He's full of virtue, full of courage, full of greatness. And then it says here that the fruit of the Spirit also is faith. Wait a minute, I thought I'm a possessor of faith. Well, you know what? The fruit of the Spirit is going to manifest faith. You've heard me say it before, when in danger or in doubt, run in circles, scream and shout. No, that's not the place of faith, is it? You know, when we're faced with a trial, when we're faced with a difficulty, we're faced with a blessing, what's the first thing that we do? What is that? It's telling about our state, our condition of our hearts and where we're at, I believe. What's the first thing that we do? Do we run to get the help of another, or do we go to our Lord? See, our Lord has the answer for everything. Our Lord is worthy of the thanksgiving. I'm not saying that we shouldn't ask one another for help or ask one another for prayer regarding a thing. But who do we go to first? Oh, when the calamity is on, when the bad news comes, who do we go to first? Who do we go to first? We look here, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Faith in our Lord. We go to Him first because we know, we believe in Him, we trust in Him that He has the answer. And then meekness. Meekness does not mean weakness. Don't misunderstand that. And we need to be a meek people. You know anything about the Word of God? You know, if you know something about the Word of God, you and I have been blessed to know anything about the Word of God. We need to take that and use that well for ourselves, for our own help, for the help of our families, and for the help of those round about us. You know, we can take knowledge of the Word of God and make it a hammer and use it wrong. We can do that. We can do that. We can take and with right, true things break down. Just because we can doesn't mean that we should. Just because I can say something doesn't mean that I should say something. Oh, we need to speak up and we should speak up. When we do speak up, we need to be self-controlled, don't we? Have temperance in there. Meekness, power under control. And then this last thing that's mentioned here, meekness, temperance again, which is what one that we add, and one that we manifest, self-control. Not to run in circles, scream and shout when there's something at hand. Not to please ourselves, but to look to please the Lord. Not to please the world, but to please our Lord. To know that we've been called of our Lord and hear the call of the Lord and want to and desire to be obedient to Him and seek His face regarding our lives and what we should do. and how we should do it. Again, very little, I think. And of course, if there's anything sinful in our lives, that needs to be put away. But very little of our life will change in the doing of life. But how is it that we approach it? Do we do it heartily as unto the Lord? And may we manifest the fruit of the Spirit. It says here in verse number 23, against such there is no law. We need to get a hold of that. You know, what is it that the Lord says that He's pleased by? I think Brother Doug touched on it in his Sunday school class over there in Samuel. Our Lord is pleased with obedience, not sacrifice, not the substitution that we from our nature and carnally would want to make, but by obedience. He is honored and worshiped by obedience, not some new scheme that you and I cook up. Not another way, not a substitution, but obedience. And so here he says, against these, this fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. You can't ever love enough. We would never hear, oh, you're just too self-controlled. You're too self-controlled. Or you're just too meek. And of course, we're not talking about being lifted up in pride and being caught up in our own self-piety. But we've got a problem there, don't we? And it's not talking about that. But to be as Christ is. You know what? You can't ever love enough. You know what? You can pay your tithe. And you can get to the end of an offering when you've given all that you have. But you can't ever be too self-controlled. Amen? You can't love too much. You can't have joy too much. There can never be too much peace. We don't get to the end of peace. And long-suffering, gentleness, and so forth. And so, remember these, and I challenge you, connect these in your hearts, and know that these passages go together. Review them in your heart, and be mindful to add to the faith that our Lord has given unto you. We've got a business to be about here, and may our Lord help us in that. We come back to 2 Peter chapter 1 here. Second Peter chapter 1, he says in verse number 8, for if these things be in you and abound, are they in us? Well, if the Spirit of God lives within, they're going to be in us to some extent. We can quench the Spirit. We can grieve the Spirit of God. And we don't need to go there. May the Lord help us that we wouldn't. We, with our sin, we do so. But if these things be in us, that's one step. If they abound in us, that's another step. Remember how he said here in verse number 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, be busy about it. This is something that Jim has got to think about. I've got to think about this and consider this. In the beginning of my days, I need to think about adding to my faith. Lord, help me to add to my faith. Help me to add to faith in you. Help me to grow. But if these things be in you and abound, listen to this. They make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Does that make sense to you? For years, I've thought about this, the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I add to my faith, the fruit of the Spirit being manifested in my life. I will never be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ. Adding to my faith, bearing forth the fruit of the Spirit, makes me know more about my Savior in the Gospels. Well, knowing about our Lord in the Gospels is indeed a key to knowing about our Lord. But we can know about our Lord in the way that He thinks. in the way that he operates. Remember, this passage began with being a partaker of the divine nature. Not our own nature. Not our own thinking and own way. Not our own design. But if I understand this correctly, you and I can be, by knowing the promises of God, knowing the power of our Lord, and going to our Lord to help us, to add to our faith these things, and manifesting the fruit of the Spirit, we can begin to think like Christ and operate like Christ. Is that not what we are called to do? I think here, especially us here in the church, in one of the Lord's churches, you remember what the scripture and what the brethren, as they write, the word that our Lord gives us, how we're referred to in the Lord's church? We are referred to as His body. His body. That's what Jesus does with on this earth. His body. Members in particular. You're you. The Lord has saved you. Fitly joined together into His body. How is it we refer to it? This picture that we have. Our Lord is our head. He's the pilot, isn't He? He's the director. He's the king. He's our Lord. Are we not called to be like Christ? To do the works of Christ? To be the representative of Christ? Are we not to be the witness of Christ on this earth? Then we need to be like Christ. Not so much, this isn't knowledge and just facts, and we need to know about the facts of our Lord. We need to know about the questions that He asked. We need to know about the answers that He gave, amen? We need to know what He thinks about things. That's a wonderful thing about the Sermon on the Mount. The Lord Jesus sets men's thinking straight. That Matthew chapter 5, 6 and 7, He takes and sets the thinking of men straight. And that's the way you and I need to think. Not according to the popular culture, not according to what the news thinks, but what the Lord thinks. For if these things be in you, that's one thing. If they abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren. An unfruitful tree will be barren. Nor unfruitful, but rather a bearing of fruit in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, our relationship, we can have a tendency to think that our relationship with our Lord is distant. But our relationship with our Lord is very near. He lives within. How nearer can it be? Our Lord, His Spirit, living within us. Verse number 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind. You know why we're told this? Because we can be found this way. Can't see. We shudder at the thought of losing our sight, don't we? That's a fearful thing, to lose our sight. We so depend upon our sight. The only way to have spiritual sight is to have that of the Lord within us. And oh, what a terrible thing. The worst blindness that there is not physical blindness, but spiritual blindness. Where we just don't see. We just don't see. We just don't. There's no way to perceive, no way to know. He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and can get so bad that he hath forgotten he was purged from his old sins. Is this speaking about the loss of salvation? Never. You can't lose salvation by the Lord. I'll tell you what, you can get to a point that you forget. You can follow after the flesh and follow after the way of the world, follow after the lies and the working of Satan, follow after all that is against the Lord. And you know what? You can forget. You can forget. And so we need to beware. We need to be adding. You and I, it's been said many times, and it's true, you and I are never stationary. in our progress, in our pursuit, our apprehension for that with which we are by which we are apprehended, I think, as it says in Colossians or in Corinthians. We're either moving forward or we're slipping back. Never stationary. Because this life is dynamic and time is moving on. He that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, no spiritual understanding, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Remember, our Lord Jesus said, "Learn of me." Is Jesus blind? No, he's not. Does Jesus lack spiritual understanding? No, he does not lack any understanding at all. And will he not give to us that which we need if we will desire and pursue what he has given us to do? We have a responsibility. We have a responsibility. It's just that way. There's no two ways about it. You and I have a responsibility to pursue our Lord and the things of our Lord. He's written to us just for that purpose. And you know what? It's going to be work. And you know what? The flesh isn't going to like it. Very likely your family won't like it. And the world sure won't like it. And you know what? Satan for sure won't like it. But that's what we're called to do. He that lacketh these things is blind. He cannot see afar off and hath forgotten he was purged from his old sins. He says, "Wherefore the rather, brethren," verse number 10, "give diligence to make your calling and election sure." In Philippians chapter 2, verse number 12, let's take a look over here at this passage quickly. Our brother writes to the church at Philippi. We read here in verse number 12 of Philippians chapter 2, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only," not with just the apostle they're writing herd on them to make them, but they've got a conviction before the Lord, don't they? "But now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Make your calling and election sure. Are you saved? Do you love the Lord? Do you want to serve Him? Do you serve Him? Our Lord plainly says in the Gospels, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And He's given us instruction right here. These are commands of our Lord. And they're for our benefit, they're for His honor and His glory. The person that claims and speaks of salvation, but there's no change, there's no pursuit in their life, do well to evaluate about the condition of their own soul. Do you have a desire? Understand, when we're saved, we're a babe. I mean, needing the sincere milk of the Word. There's a lot to learn. And we won't ever learn it all, but we need to be pursuing learning it. Why? So it'll benefit us? No, so to glorify our Lord. Everything's to glorify the Lord. Get that. Will it be a benefit to us? Indeed. Obedience to the Lord is always a benefit to the person, but it's for the honor and glorification of our Lord. We look over here, and I reference this verse, John chapter 3. Look over here where the Lord Jesus says this. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. Verse number 18 of John 3, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not on Jesus is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. They love their sin more than they love the light. "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light." Do you and I enjoy being in the dark? Then we need to evaluate our salvation. But do you like coming to the light? Do you know that the light is good? That our Lord is good? You want to please Him? You want to grow in Him? You want to do what He's given us to do? "Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light." Have you come to the light? lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light. The child of God saved says, okay, Lord, what's next? What's next? What's next? Doesn't get to the point when our hearts are right, we don't get to the point. You mean there's more? There's always more. There's always more pursuit of the Lord. Well, some things that may be very, very easy for us to get a handle on and learn about. And that's true. But you know what? There's always more. Always more in pursuing our Lord. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. How is it with you? Are you making your calling and election sure? How is it that one knows that they're the elect? Well, they've been saved. That's always the reference in the scriptures. The elect are known because they're saved. They've repented. They've trusted in Christ. They're resting in him. That's the only way it can be known. There's no role. There's no secret role that we keep back here in the back or down in the basement and I go check. The Lord knows that. That's his affair, his business. But you know what? Those that are saved are indeed the elect of God. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, don't lack these things. Don't be found in this blind state. You know, we've got some examples of the far side of blindness, don't we? Brother Peter has to tell us that Lot was saved. Otherwise, if it wasn't for that in the scripture, we would never think that Lot was saved. I think our brother was blind, don't you? I'm not railing on him. It's just it's the Lord. He's given this example. What do you think, Brother Samson? Brother Samson went a long time blind, didn't he? And then they took his eyes out. And then at the end, he saw the Lord more. Well, what a terrible thing. How about King Saul? I'm of the opinion King Saul was saved. But he was a blind fella. 38 years fighting against simple obedience of his Lord. He wanted to do it his way. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, add and give diligence to make your calling and election sure by the adding to faith. For if you do these things, this adding, you shall never fall. More about Jesus. More about Jesus would I know. More of his grace, the favor of the Lord to others show. More of his saving, fullness see. More of his love who died for me. We've got songs that refer to that, don't we? And then listen to this. Give diligence. Add. Make the calling of the Lord and the election sure. If upon self-evaluation, I never want any cause anyone to doubt their salvation, but unless you're not saved, then go to the Lord for the salvation of your soul. Don't wrangle with it. Go to the Lord. He's got the answer. His salvation is his. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. And then listen to this. These have been the references in this life. Now here's the breaking forth from this life into the life to come. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I guess there is a sense of that, yet being here and living in this world and in this, you know, we become the children of the Lord, and we, and in this church age, we are saved and members of the Lord's church, members of his body, this body in particular here at Olmsted, Kentucky. We know about the kingdom, don't we? We understand about who's king. We understand and have some understanding about what our Lord is doing, what he's promised, where this is all heading, what our mission is for the sake of our Lord and for the sake of the elect. And so we have that. We know that this kingdom will never fall, don't we? It's everlasting. But faithfulness in this life to our Lord. This is always the way I've thought about this passage. And in death or in the rapture, we step off into eternity. Remember Brother Stephen there in the book of Acts? What an entrance into glory in having the Lord standing at the right hand of the Father to receive His child. See, if we add to our faith and we're obedient to our Lord, we won't have shame before our Lord. And it'll be a wonderful thing to see our Lord, seeing Him in the things that we've been obedient in and faithful in to His Word and what He's given. He said, if you do these things, you'll never fall, and this entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a wonder, what a blessing, what a glorious, glorious thing it is for the saints to go on to be with their Lord. What is it Jesus said? The example that He gave, and those that He gave the talents and they gave the pounds to, they occupied till the Lord came back, didn't they? And they said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Don't you want to hear that from the Lord? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want you to hear that from the Lord. Thou hast been faithful in few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Lord, take care of that. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. To be on the receiving end, to be received in glory by our Lord. What an entrance. What an entrance that will be. Our brother refers here in verse number 12 about this reminding work that he does. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. We need to be reminded. You and I need to be reminded by reading them and meditating upon them and talking to the Lord about them. Talking to the Lord about the lack that we have in our lives and our walk with the Lord. That the Lord would open these things up to us and we might see where we lack, where we need to add, what we need to pursue. That He would help us in these things. I want you to have a good entrance. To where we're walking with our Lord in this life, in the constraint that we have. We don't see Him physically, but we know Him and we can fellowship with Him and we can see Him by virtue of the Scriptures. And we walk on out of this life right on into glory to be with our Lord. Having a vision for our Lord. Pressing towards the mark, I think our brother writes, doesn't he? May the Lord help us in these things. Next time we'll pick up here about this reminding job. We need to be reminded, we need to remember, and we need to be established in this present truth. If you're here and you're not saved, think about the entrance to eternity for those that are not saved. The Scripture tells us in the book of Luke that the rich man died. He didn't go to hell because he was rich. He went to hell because he didn't receive the Lord. He didn't obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in hell, he lift up his eyes. What a terrible, terrible entrance into eternity. There is a sense, and it's true, that that hell and the lake of fire are in the eternal kingdom of our Lord. That hell and the lake of fire are forever. And they're the place of righteous indignation of our Lord. For those that leave out of this life without Christ as Savior, that's where they go. Those that have gone on already, they're there now. If you're here and you're not saved, we point you to Jesus. He's the only way. He's the truth and He's alive. You can have forgiveness of your sins. You can be rescued from that terrible place. The Lord's more than a fire escape, but indeed hell is real. Repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. For we who are saved, the greatest one, the greatest person that lives has called and saved us. This isn't a little thing. This isn't a small thing. And you know what? In every way, He equips us. He makes the provision for us to be equipped that we might bring honor and glory to His name. May we pursue it. May the Lord help us with it.